this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We have so many different ideas and thoughts. The first, of course, that I'm looking at and have looked at before and sung, you have sung it, but I've sung it too inside, is a wonderful introit. Inclina Domine aurem tuam ad me. Incline, O Lord, thine ear unto me. Of course, the translations, even here, in this so-called traditional missal, are not as good as they should be. Incline. And what's interesting is, and we see, of course, this is very true in the Son of God incarnate, made man, true God and true man. But also, we're talking here about the whole Trinity, God Almighty. And there are several things that are important here. First of all, and this is from Scripture, it is not somebody's invention, that we also see in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the fact that He too inclines His ear to us, to listen to us. And of course, theologically speaking, and some of you may throw that in my face, I don't care, I'll throw it right back. God, Father, and Holy Spirit, and God the Son until the Incarnation in the womb of Mary, did not have an ear, per se, not these kind of ears, but they do have the three persons, an intellectual, perfect intellect, perfect being. That includes everything except pain and suffering. That's why Christ became man. But God listens to us. And of course, this is the figurative and flowery language of the Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Incline thine ear, O Lord, to me and hear me. Save me, have mercy on me. I have cried to thee all day long. Give joy to the soul of thy servant. For to thee, O Lord, I have lifted up my soul. And this is very much the place, the situation of the servants of God. And in particular, I am speaking, and of course we see this at the end of the reading from the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And of course, many of you will say, well, that means all the Christians, all the Catholics. No. He is speaking here in particular about those who are consecrated to Christ in the priesthood, the Pope, the bishops, the priests, the deacons to a lesser degree, because it's not the same. And so it's very important that this whole reading of the Galatians has to do with the clergy. And of course, we don't need to go into the fact that there are and have been for 2,000 years clergy who have been horribly evil. But it's not my place or yours to judge or to decide who it is that they're talking about. But there also have been innumerable clergy that have been saints. Among others, we have many of those of the Korean martyrs whom we celebrated yesterday. And it's in the martyrology, no matter what martyrology it is. And in the last few days, over 900 priests and seminarians in Spain who were killed by the communists. That's what they're talking about. But that's only in one century, in two centuries, in a few years. What about 2,000 years? And of course, This is something that we need to be aware of. St. Paul, as usual, is very, very clear, and he doesn't mince words. If any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And there are people who think of themselves as very high and exalted and holy and the epitome of everything that a Catholic should be. That's what they think. But that's not what God thinks. He says he deceiveth himself. And of course, he continues, God is not mocked. Deus non irridetur. Do not make the mistake. God is not mocked. He will not be laughed at. Little Chrysogonus is having a good time there. I love those little noisemakers. My little babies, my noisemakers. They're a gift of God. That little child who is baptized, who has been cleansed, and all the others who are here, because there's a lot of others who are not here, because everybody has the Montezuma flu. We won't go there. And a lot of people are missing because of that. But those little ones are innocent before they commit sin. Once they get to the point that they commit sin, then you can forget it. They are no longer innocent. You know, of course, a couple of you in the pews think you are, but you're not. So, do not err. God will not be mocked. And whatever happens, happens. God either wills it or permits it. And so, he says, therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. The household of the faith, those who are consecrated to God. Not everybody, those who are consecrated to God. And then, of course, we see in the gospel something very touching. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his human divine emotions, which he had. That's why he became man. God in heaven does not have any emotions. There are no emotions in heaven. There is no sadness. There is no joy. There's glory. Glory in the presence of God. But that's not a human emotion. So our Lord was with his disciples and apostles. Of course, today we celebrate the feast of the great evangelist, St. Matthew. Levi, one of the apostles, who left everything to follow Christ. And they come to this little village, Nain, and there was a funeral procession going by. And it was a young man, probably still a teenager, maybe 17, 18 years old, but he was the only sustenance, the only income that his mother, a widow, had. She was bereft of everything. She was looking for poverty and maybe even starvation with this death. It was not only an emotional feeling, but it was also the fear. What is going to happen next, O Lord? What am I going to do? And of course, many times, I'm sure you may say these things to God in your prayers. I say it every day. What am I going to do? Show me what to do. And our Lord takes care of it. And so our Lord tells them to stop it. And they stop the litter or the bier And of course, I always get a kick out of this because in modern English, when you say beer, you think of Michelob or some other nonsense. B-I-E-R. Boy, the Montezuma revenge is really working. Anyway, the beer was the litter on which the body was carried to the tomb. There was no coffins. For those who were very rich, they had a sarcophagus, but that's not a coffin. So they were carrying him to his tomb. And our Lord stopped the procession, and he touched the bier and the young man, and he said, "Young man, get up. Get up." And the young man, who was dead, no life, no heartbeat, no breathing, nothing, he gets up. He rises from the dead. Who alone but God can do this? And they understood it. And there came upon them a great fear, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has visited us." But then even more, God has visited his people, because only this can be done by God. And so we too need to turn to God in all our tribulations and trials, in all the persecutions, the betrayals, the backstabbings that we suffer, usually given to us by those who were more than ever in debt to us. But God will take care of it. God has visited his people. So today, as we meditate on these mysteries, and we could definitely speak more about all of it, let us meditate on the words of the gospel, on the words of St. Paul to the Galatians. God will not be mocked. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.